Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Mike Kiris, and we're all in a good mood. The Vikings are 1-0. They win their home opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, and now we're getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts. On top of that, we have a really cool show for you this week. Robert Smith is going to join us in a bit to talk about Adrian Peterson breaking his all-time Vikings rushing mark. Plus, we'll get into his career as a Viking. He obviously had a prolific career himself, and a little bit of college football. That's going to come up a little bit later. First, though, let's preview the Vikings and the Colts. We travel to Indianapolis on Saturday. We're going to play the Colts in their home opener on Sunday. The game is at noon Central Time. It's going to be on Fox, and hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun as the Vikings try and move to 2-0. Let's preview the game a little bit. I'll have a word on the offense, Vikings offense, a word on the Vikings defense, a word on the Vikings special teams. We'll break it down that way. Let's start with the Vikings on offense. We're going to go up against a Colts defense that runs a 3-4 defensive scheme. Now, they have a new head coach this year. His name is Chuck Pagano. He used to be the defensive coordinator in Baltimore. Now he's the head coach in Indianapolis. So you can imagine what type of defense he's trying to install in Indianapolis. We've all respected the Ravens defense for such a long time. He's going to try and bring a lot of the principles from the Ravens defense to his defense in Indianapolis. So it's going to be a 3-4 scheme. Now, the Vikings had a little bit of trouble figuring out the 3-4 scheme against the Chargers in the preseason. Christian Ponder and company had a few issues, so they have to diagnose those problems and apply it to this week's game plan as they go against Indianapolis Colts and another 3-4 defense. One more quick thing on Indianapolis' defense. Dwight Freeney might not play. He has the dreaded high ankle sprain. He hasn't practiced this week. If he is out, that's going to be a huge factor in this game because he's one of their best defensive players. Now, the cupboard is not bare behind Dwight Freeney. They have two linebackers who they can put in his place. One is a former first-round pick. His name is Jerry Hughes. He played college football at TCU. He's a pretty good player. He wasn't a great fit as a defensive end in the Colts' 4-3 scheme, but now they run a 3-4, so playing that stand-up outside linebacker, Jerry Hughes is pretty good. Mario Addison is the other guy that you're going to see play for Dwight Freeney if he can't play. Addison and Hughes are going to split reps, so that's going to be something to watch on game day. If Dwight Freeney plays or not, if he doesn't, a big advantage for the Vikings. Defensively for the Vikings, we have to get to Andrew Luck. He's their rookie quarterback. They took him number one overall. The key to this game for the Vikings defense is to rattle him. The Colts offensive line is a bit banged up. They're back to at one of their guard positions. They're playing a guy who just signed with them earlier in the week, Trey Essex. You might remember him from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now he plays for the Colts. They signed him off the street because one of their starting guards is injured. Their backup wasn't very good last week when they lost to the Bears, so now they're going to play this guy. Their right tackle, Winston Justice, had a concussion last week, so his status is a bit uncertain. So this is a Colts offensive line that's a little bit banged up. Leslie Frazier said earlier in the week that he expects the Colts offensive line to play better this week. But still, even if they do play a little bit better, the Vikings have a deep defensive line, a talented defensive line. This isn't an advantage for the Vikings. They have to capitalize on the Colts' offensive line being a little bit banged up and not being as deep as our defensive line is. Get to Andrew Luck. He's young. He's a rookie. It's his first home start. It's the home opener. He is a quarterback who's going to be good in the long term, but right now he's struggling as a rookie, as all rookies do. The Vikings got to get a piece of that. The matchup to watch on that offensive line is that left tackle. They have Anthony Costanzo. He was a first-round pick last year. He's a good player. He's going to be matched up against Jared Allen. So Jared Allen against their left tackle, Anthony Costanzo, is going to be a fun matchup to watch. One last thing on the Colts offense and our defense is Reggie Wayne. He's like 33 or 34 years old and entering his 12th season here, but he still has a lot of gas left in the tank. He's still a good player for them. He was targeted 18 times last week in 45 pass attempts. That's like 40% of the time the Colts were targeting Reggie Wayne, so the Vikings have to keep an eye on him and not let Reggie Wayne ruin the game for us. Finally, special teams. We talked about this all preseason on the Wobcast and Vikings game plan and on the radio with PA. We want to see an explosive return from the Vikings on special teams, and we just didn't see that in the preseason. We didn't see it really in week one. Percy Harvin got loose a little bit, but never really broke free. I'd like to see Percy Harvin or Marcus Sherrills or Josh Robinson or Jarius Wright, whoever is doing the punt return and the kickoff return, we'd like to see them get an explosive return on special teams. If you look back to the Vikings offense in week one. When they played well, it was after some sort of spark. At the end of the first half, we were in two-minute offense. The Vikings offense played well there. Early in the third quarter, Blaine Gabbert fumbled. Vikings recover. Vikings offense drives down for a touchdown. A quick change. They played well. Late in the game, two-minute offense, a field goal to tie it. Overtime, two-minute offense, or at least a bit of a hurry-up offense. We drive down, kick a field goal to win it. So when there's a spark that puts the Vikings offense on the field, Christian Ponder and company play well. A long kickoff or punt return is that spark. When you're playing on the road, you're looking for any spark that you can get. I think a long return will do that for our offense, and that will help us as we play in an unfriendly environment at Lucas Oil Stadium in the Colts home opener. So the key on special teams, let's finally see someone put their foot in the ground and log an explosive return. Okay, let's welcome today's guest. It's a name very familiar to Vikings fans. It's former Vikings running back Robert Smith, our guest on today's Wobcast. But today, we're calling this a Robcast in honor of Robert Smith. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the show.
That's great. You know, my daughter's name is Tyler, so her iPod, we call it the Tide Pod. So that's kind of along the same line.
So what you're saying is we're not actually that clever by calling this a Robcast instead of a Bobcast.
Nothing new under the sun, my friend.
Dang. Well, it was an eventful week for us here in Minnesota, Robert. It was the home opener, the first time we've opened at home since 2007. We win the game in overtime thanks to some clutch kicking by a rookie kicker, Blair Walsh. Our young quarterback, Christian Ponder, looks good. Adrian returns to action after offseason rehab from that knee injury. He scores two touchdowns. On top of all that, Adrian also becomes the Vikings' all-time leading rusher, surpassing you. It was a busy, crazy, fun few hours at Mall of America Field. I trust somewhere you had your eye on the TV and you were watching it all.
Yeah, I was. It was a lot of fun. And I had known going into the weekend that he would in all likelihood break the record. And so I wanted to make sure that I was there watching it. And I just joined the Twitter world last week. So I was tweeting while the game was going on and getting updates from Brian Harper, telling me how far he was from the record. And so it was really fun. And, you know, I enjoyed watching Adrian play when he was all back at Oklahoma. You know, I was working for ESPN then. So he was my favorite player to watch then. And once he got drafted, I remember the day he got drafted, they asked me about him. I said, if he stays healthy, I'm going to finish the decade as the team's all-time leading rusher. And very, very early in the next, he will become the team's all-time leading rusher. And didn't take him long into the decade.
And that's exactly how it went down. You were right. You had the record at 6,818 yards, Robert. Adrian surpasses you last week versus the Jaguars. Now he stands 18 yards ahead of where you were at 6,836 yards. Chuck Foreman is the man that you surpassed for the record. Certainly an honor for you during your career to pass another Vikings legend like Mr. Foreman.
Oh, absolutely. And Chuck was one of the only players that I really knew from Vikings history. I mean, I wasn't a huge football fan growing up, but I knew Chuck Foreman. It was cool to meet Chuck and to pass him.
So it goes Adrian, then Robert Smith, then Chuck Foreman in terms of Vikings all-time rushing list. Now, that's a pretty good trio of running backs for a team to boast in its history. Adrian had the unique blend of power and speed. I remember watching you, and it was pure speed and being a long strider. You'd get a handoff, you'd run to the edge of the formation, and defenders, they simply couldn't meet you there in time because they just couldn't anticipate the speed that you had and how quick you could get to the edge. That was your trademark in my mind. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to run where they weren't, basically, and there aren't as many of them near the sideline, and I was able to get a lot of long runs up the sideline, and, you know, people, because I had a longer stride, I think a lot of them took bad angles, and that's something that you just try and take advantage of, so I think that's a pretty fair assessment of my running style.
You watched a lot of Adrian when he was playing at the University of Oklahoma as a college football analyst working at ESPN, then I'm sure that you evaluated him to some extent and tried to project what kind of NFL career he would have. Does it surprise you that he's been as productive for as long as he's been able to do it?
No, not at all, to tell you the truth. And, you know, I remember coming into the locker room up there when Adrian was a rookie and talking with Matt Burke about him. Of course, Matt, our center, and he said Adrian is a freak. He's an absolute physical freak. He was talking about the way that, the nicknames all day and everything like that. I mean, it is unbelievable. He's a physical specimen. And I think that that ability, that aspect of his physical makeup, you know, has allowed him to absorb punishment that normal players wouldn't be able to absorb. So it really doesn't surprise me. I just knew he was he's not only gifted physically, but I think the build physically. He doesn't just have talent. He's got, you know, a body that very few people on this planet have.
Have you had the opportunity to come back to Minnesota and watch Adrian play in person?
Yeah, I have. I've seen him in person a few times.
There are just some players or even teams, thinking back to you and the prolific offenses that you were on here with the Vikings in the late 90s, there are players who people feel privileged to be able to watch. And Adrian, to me, is one of those. I can see 20 years down the road, it's like people said, what was it like to watch that 98 Vikings team? They're going to say to us, Robert, what was it like to watch Adrian Peterson, right?
I don't think there's any question about it. And you know, I honestly believe that he is, if not the most gifted, then one of the, I mean, I don't, maybe Barry Sanders might be, you know, more gifted as a pure runner, but I think there are very few people on that list. And so people will look back at his career, and hopefully he stays healthy. If he does, he'll become the league's all-time leading rusher, I believe. But he will represent to a lot of people the embodiment of what the greatest runner ever to play the game, or one of the greatest runners ever to play the game, looked like. Yeah. So it's going to be something special.
Robert Smith, former Vikings running back and current ESPN college football analyst, joins us on today's Robcast. We've talked a lot about Adrian here, Robert, but you had a prolific career as well, playing here from 1993 to 2000 as the 21st overall selection. What are your memories of Minnesota and of being a Viking?
No. Well, the Robcast isn't long enough for all the memories. I mean, I think back to the day I was drafted, getting the call from Denny. I was watching Ren and Stimpy at the time, actually. I was getting so, getting so nervous and anxious watching the draft that I actually turned on Ren and Stimpy.
Wow.
And Coach Green called, and it's just so hard to put into words what that experience is like. All the anxiety, and then to have that relief when you finally get the call, and then to get up there, and to have, it was a tough time for me for a while. I tore my ACL my rookie year, and then messed my ankle up pretty bad my third year, and then in my fourth year, another pretty serious knee injury. And all that talk, of course, about, he's never going to be able to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to come back and have a strong finish and, four straight years that were relatively healthy. For me, I knew that it wasn't a record that would stand the test of time. But to me, achieving the record was special just because, not only because I knew what a great runner Chuck Foreman was, but just because I had struggled through so much early in my career, and to be able to come back on two surgically repaired knees and have so many great years with so many Hall of Famers, great guys and great players. I mean, Chris Dolman and Henry Thomas and Randall McDaniel and Chris Carter and John Randall, Jake Reed. I mean, just so many great players, Warren Moon. And I don't want to even try and list all the guys, because I had just such a great time playing the game in a city that I just revel in the arrival and seeing the city like from the air, and seeing the lakes as I'm coming in, and just remembering all the times and all the people up there. It's just just nothing but fond memories. And of course, we had some pretty devastating losses, but in totality, it's nothing but just the greatest time of my life.
That's awesome. We got to get you back here to Mall of America Field. Maybe once we get to November and December, the regular season in college football is over. We have two home games in December. Do you think you'll come back?
I will be there.
You'd be a crowd favorite, Robert. I know that. Vikings fans would love to have you back. It's interesting. You talked about coming back from serious injuries yourself. That's something we just saw Adrian do in remarkable fashion. What's the key to that? What's the key to a player who performs at an incredibly high level, incurs a serious injury, then works his way back to that high level of play once again? What's it take?
Well, first of all, it's mostly science. I mean, the technology, medical technology has advanced so far from where guys in the early 80s and 70s that had injuries like that, you know, it was a struggle to come back many times. I mean, Gale Sayers, one of the great runners of all time, if he had that injury in today's game, he would have been back the next year like Adrian, mm-hmm. and playing well. I mean, he did come back, but it just wasn't the same. So the technology has improved. The training methods, the rehabilitation has greatly improved. And from there, it's really just work ethic and tolerance, pain tolerance, and fighting through it. So that's why I had no doubt that Adrian, you know, would come back as strong as ever. But, you know, there are guys like Leroy Burrell tore his ACL long jumping and came back and set the world record at the time in the 100-meter dash. So mm-hmm. it, guys that put the work in will be back, and that's, once again, why I had no doubt that Adrian would be back. Better than ever.
This is a Robcast today, not a Wobcast, and that's because Robert Smith is our guest, former Vikings running back, and he's currently a college football analyst for ESPN. Do you like that gig, Robert?
Oh, it's a blast. It's so much fun. The opportunity to see, you know, situations like Adrian and so many of these other college players, and you see them come out of high school, you see them in the college game, and then you watch them mature and turn into fantastic pros. It's like watching a kid grow up, just being around the game and not having to have any surgeries related to to the game anymore. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a challenging job. You know, college football can be tough to follow just because of the amount of turnover that you have. But
yep.
It's a great. I think it's the best level. This is nothing against the Viking, but I think college football it's the best level of any sport in the world.
One thing I'd like to get your take on, especially because it's such a hot button topic in college football right now, is a playoff system. Now, for me, I'm such a big fan of football and of college football that I'm going to watch no matter what, whether it's a bowl system, a BCS system, a playoff system. What do we could draw names out of a hat or pin the tail on the donkey. I'm going to watch, but not everyone feels that way. How do you feel about it, and what do you think will happen? What's the future of college football?
Well, there is going to be a playoff system starting in 2014. It's just going to be a four-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the details have yet to be worked out on how apparently there's going to be a selection committee that's going to determine who the top four teams in the country are. So the BCS is going away. They're going to have the semifinal games in existing bowls. They'll rotate them through the bowls, the major bowls that exist right now, and then the national championship game is going to be played to the city with the highest bidder. So I'm guessing that the first national championship games is going to be at Jerry World.
good guess.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting system, and I don't think that it should go beyond that, to tell you the truth. I don't like eight teams or 16-team playoffs. I think it's important to understand that college football does not exist to pick a national champion. And although some people think that it's unfair the way that the system works, I think you also have to balance that with the difficulty in getting the players to play the extra games, the amount of time that they have to spend away from their studies. There's just a number of other issues that people don't really think about as much. And, of course, preserving one of the great traditions in the bowl system, which gives an opportunity for a lot of teams to end their season on a positive note and to promote their schools. I think when you talk about what the purpose of a school is, you know, why does a school exist, I think that their mission statement is accomplished or furthered by having bowls and being able to promote their teams.
Mm-hmm.
Schools for a number of weeks beyond the college season. So I think that the way that they're moving in that system is the right way.
Okay, so I'm filling out a form here. Robert Smith, I've just nominated you for president of the College Football Selection Committee. You up for it?
Absolutely. The only requirement that I have, if I was the president of the selection committee, is that it be broadcast live. Like
yes.
What do you call it? C-SPAN.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you want to talk about must-see TV. That would be phenomenal to have all these people sitting in a room talking about why they think, you know, number three, you know, needs to be ahead of, or number four, I guess that's going to be the real argument, why number
right.
four should be ahead of number five.
Right.
Whoever that number five team is.
Well, I'll tell you, if people will watch college football players run around in their underwear in Indianapolis in February at the scouting combine, they're certainly going to watch a selection committee select teams for a college football playoff.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
All right, one more for you really quick before we let you go. I want to ask you about two teams. You're going to have a great perspective on one of them because you played there, and we have great interest in the other one because they play here. Ohio State, your alma mater, they have Urban Meyer now as their new head coach. What do they have going on there?
Well, I think it's going to it always takes time to adjust to a new offense, but having a dual-threat quarterback like Braxton Miller certainly helps a great deal. Defensively, they've got a lot of talent there. And Urban's going to pull in the best talent, in the Midwest, certainly, if not from around the country. It's going to take time for him to get all of the types of players that he wants on his squad. But there's no question, he's going to have some great teams there in the years to come. And they could, even though they're ineligible for the Big Ten Championship this year. It's likely now, the way that things have gone, that they'll be the best team in the leaders' division.
Okay, Gophers now. I got to tell you, after so many losing seasons, they become really a non-factor, and we don't even pay attention to them in Minnesota, some of us anyway. But they're 2-0 right now, so I have to admit, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm paying a little bit more attention.
Well, I mean, Jerry Kill was a winner at Northern Illinois. I think he can be a winner at Minnesota. And you've got the facilities up there to draw players in. Mm-hmm. Now it's just it's kind of getting the players to believe that. You need to get the current players to believe so that they can do what Northwestern does, which is win some games that they shouldn't win. And then you start getting better talent, and then you can win games that you're supposed to win. I saw the run by Marquise Gray last week or the week before, and he's obviously a talented player. You need to get better players, across the board. And I think Jerry Kill is capable of doing that. I know he's had some health issues, and hopefully he'll be able to make his way through those. But, I think he's definitely the kind of guy that can bring Minnesota back to relevance, really.
Okay, I got a plan. Here's what's going to happen. We're building a new stadium here, as I'm sure you know. The stadium is going to be built. The Wilfs will put in a bid to host a national championship game. You're going to be president of the committee, so you're going to have a big, fat suite in the stadium at the championship game. You're going to invite us to said suite, and we're going to do another Robcast from there.
That's a lot of ifs, but if all that happens, you got it.
All right, hopefully we can make it happen. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. Robert Smith, Vikings fans, one of the all-time greats. It was cool to have him on the show. That is it for us today. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We leave you with a hit from Rush. Take it away.